Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Sports Leader, Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
All right, folks, 9:42 here on this Friday evening. It's JJ, John Jastrzemski, right here on The Fan. We welcome in one of New York's favorite sons, for years a fixture in the Met bullpen. The great Johnny Franco is nice enough to give us a couple minutes. Johnny, it's John Jastrzemski. How are you, my friend? What's happening, bro?
How you doing, JJ? Hope you and your family, everyone's doing well during these tough times right now.
John, we're doing the best we can, and I guess let's start here, my man. What have you been doing over these last couple months to stay sane? And I know it's a question I like to ask everybody who comes on right now, but, you know, this is like uncharted waters. None of us have ever, you know, dealt with something like this before. I mean, I'm doing this show from a one-bedroom apartment right now, for goodness sake. So what have you been doing, man, to try to, like, stay sane?
Where are you doing it from? Staten Island?
No, I'm in Brooklyn right now. So the parents are on Brooklyn. Staten Island. I'm like the opposite of you, John Franco. I go from Staten Island to Brooklyn. You went from Brooklyn to Staten Island. So, like, we're the reverse right now, you know?
Yeah, I went from Brooklyn to Staten Island to Lower Manhattan now, so...
I mean, you live in Queens and you live in the Bronx, then you're set, man. Then you got, like, the five-borough tour.
Yes, I hit all the boroughs, that's for sure. What have I been doing? I've been basically, you know, doing stuff around the house, spending, you know, obviously a lot of time with my wife and my daughter, a lot of Zoom interviews, and a lot of cooking. I've taken up cooking to the next level and put it on Instagram and showing my cooking skills.
Atta boy. So, Johnny, what has been the meal of choice that is, like, now your perfected art? Like, if there's something that in the last 2 or 3 months you've nailed now, I got to see this on Instagram, but what would it be?
Well, I have to tell you, JJ, all my meals are pretty good. So,
attaboy. I mean, I'd expect nothing less, dude.
My wife and I combined on a Sicilian pasta we made that came out really, really well. I make a nice broccoli rabe and sauces and pasta dish that comes out. That's my go-to dish. And then my salmon with some spinach and mushrooms is another go-to dish.
Man, I got to get invited to the Franco kitchen when this is all said and done. I mean, I got to have a couple of these meals, Johnny, making me hungry, dude.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying doing it. It's a lot of fun. And I'm getting some good reaction from my Instagram followers. And it's a lot of fun to do.
John, you were a part of the Players Association in 1994 when we had the strike in the playoffs and the World Series are canceled. Now, you know, I think there are a lot of people listening to the show right now who are legitimately concerned about there not being a baseball season. Following from afar, what's your take on the matter? You think the player's dead right here? You think the player's dead wrong? And do you think when we're all said and done, we're going to have baseball in 2020?
Well, I think, you know, being involved with the union years ago and negotiating committees, these things always look worse than what they are. Everybody's never happy during negotiations. One side's never happy, the other side's not happy. So both sides aren't going to be happy when it's all said and done. But I think my gut's telling me there will be baseball. But, you know, you also have to take in consideration the players are the ones getting their salaries cut in half. They're the ones that are going to take the most risk, you know, going to the ballparks, maybe leaving their family. So there's a lot going into it on a player's side. And the owners, you know, the owners are trying to do their best and trying to save money on their side. So I think when all said and done, the commissioner's office and the players' association will get together, and there'll be some type of agreement. I'm hoping that they will, and then baseball will be, you know, we'll get some baseball from July till November. That's what I'm hoping.
I know we're all praying for that. And John, you're a guy who had involvement for years with youth baseball. And listen, I'm a baseball diehard. It was your livelihood for years. And there are plenty of young people who are still into the game. But, like, I drive around, and, you know, I'll see some of these fields, these sand lots on Staten Island, they're empty, and it breaks my heart. And, you know, with iPads and with iPhones and PS4s and all the garbage that, you know, all these young people have at their disposal, I'm very fearful, bro, that if they cancel this season, it's going to do further damage on the sport. Like, 94, listen, it hurt the sport. McGuire, Sosa, Ripken, the Yankees, your Mets, people came back to baseball. Would you be concerned, John, that it could do, you know, damage beyond belief if we see the entire 2020 season canceled?
Well, I'm sure there is some concern that if there isn't no season, it could do some damage to baseball. But, you know, it eventually everybody comes back because they love the sport, but it could do some damage. Absolutely. You know, in 94, when the World Series was canceled, I'm sure there was a lot of people disappointed and a lot of fans who were disappointed and in general. But, you know, these things happen, and eventually the fans will come back if this season is canceled. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of disappointment. But let's just wait and see what happens before we worry about that. I mean, hopefully that the kids will get a chance to play some type of baseball this year with their travel teams and their in-house teams and stuff like that. So we just have to wait, you know, ride out the storm here of another week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it takes. The main thing is safety for everyone, and that's in the professional sports all the way down to high school and sandlot and little league and so on and so forth.
We got our buddy Johnny Franco, the great Johnny Franco. He joins us here on this Friday evening on The Fan. And Johnny, obviously you're remembered here forever with your contributions for the New York Mets. You had some great years with the Cincinnati Reds. And I've always wanted to ask you this question because, you know, Don Mattingly with the Yankees retires in 95 and then his team wins the next year. Did it bother you from a, you know, a perspective as a player to go to the Mets, which is, listen, it's New York City, you're a New York guy, so I'm sure that meant the world to you. But seeing the Reds go win a World Series in 1990, did that really tick you off?
Not really. I mean, you know, timing's everything in the game. You know, it's unfortunate. It's not a fortune. Fortunate for me, I got traded to the Mets. That's the team I grew up with rooting for. And it just so happens the Reds had a great year that year that I got traded. I wasn't jealous or nothing. I was rooting for them because most of those guys are my teammates. So I was happy for them. But unfortunately for me, timing is everything. And then, you know, you could get traded. You know, you could have got traded to the Yankees where they go to the World Series every year, you know, but this didn't work out that way. But I was happy for the Reds organization that they went to the World Series, and I was rooting for them. And then sometimes that's the way the ball bounces.
John, during this pandemic, and I've been going through some old games, you know, I'm now at the point where I'm over it. I need live baseball. I need live basketball enough already. But, you know, like the baseball throwback page, whether it's, you know, SNY, whether it's Fox, whether it's Yes, they're throwing up all sorts of stuff. And I see your strikeout, my man, of Barry Bonds. So I got to ask, have you gone back and rewatched that at-bat sequence? One of the best to ever do it. You make them look silly. You strike them out to end an NLDS game. Have you gone back and watched that anytime in the recent, you know, last couple months or so?
Absolutely. I mean, I even have an Instagram follower who sent me the video footage of that also. So I've gone back and watched it a number of times, and it's always good to watch. I always used to kid around with Mike Piazza because Mike was putting fastball sign down. I kept shaking him off until he finally gave me the changeup sign, because the prior pitch to that, the 3-1 fastball that I did throw to Barry, he fouled straight back and he just missed it. So I didn't want to take another chance with getting away with one. So, and I had never thrown Barry a changeup in my entire career and a number of times that I faced Barry. And I just figured that would be a great time to throw it. He's never seen it and he probably wasn't looking for it. And for me, it was a call third strike. And ball game over, we get the save, and we go play the next day.
You're a part of the 99 team and the 2000 team. And, John, even though the 2000 team went to the World Series, I still believe to this day the 99 team was better. You guys just had this, like, magic feel about you guys. I rewatched that Game 5 against Atlanta with Ventura in the grand single. Being a part of those two teams, two special runs, NLCS and then playing the Yankees in the World Series, did you think one of those two particular teams was better, now looking back on it?
I would have to say, I think our starting pitching in 2000 was better, you know, because we added Hampton. And that really solidified us getting to that next level, you know, with Hampton and Rick Reed and Al Leiter and Bobby Jones. They really, you know, the year before we didn't have Hampton, and I think it was Kenny Rogers, I believe, was with us. And I just didn't think our starting pitching was as strong as it was in 2000. I think the 2000 team, Bobby Valentine got the most out of every player. He kept everybody sharp. Guys who got hurt, guys who stepped in, did their job. The 99 team was really, really special also. I mean, you know, you could take your pick either way, but I just felt that I thought that the 2000 team was probably just a little bit better.
Now, Johnny, this is a happy memory for me. It's not going to be a happy memory for you. Game one of the 2000 World Series. I think it's a totally different World Series if you guys pull out that first game. I mean, the O'Neill at bat against Benitez, you're a part of it. What do you remember? Like, what is your takeaway now looking back on the Subway Series where it's like this incredible frenzy? You got Yankee fans going nuts. You got households divided every which way. How cool of an experience, aside from the outcome, was it to be a part of a Subway Series that kind of gave it this like old school New York baseball vibe?
I thought it was great. You know, if you rewind and go back to the Interleague when it started in 96, 97, I believe, you know, when we played the Yankees three times at Yankee Stadium, they would come to Citi Field three times, and then they eventually went to six times a year. That was like obviously a Subway Series. But this one had a little bit more to it. It was a World Series. I think looking back now, if we didn't have that interleague play all those years, and then the 2000 where we matched up, it would have been even special, more special, I believe. But it was still great. I thought the city was electrifying. The Met fans, Yankee fans were great at both stadiums. Both teams were great. The organizations, the Yankees, Mets, we both respected each other. We both wanted to win. I still believe that. I think we had a really good chance, and I think we had a good chance if we win game one, not to say we win the World Series, but all the pressure was on the Yankees. And to win that first game at Yankee Stadium would have been really special for us.
Johnny, was it any sort of a distraction for you guys being in that clubhouse when Roger Clemens is throwing the bat at Mike Piazza? I know it's the World Series, and listen, you got to try and go and win a championship, but that was like such a circus with Clemens hitting him back in July. Then he's throwing the bat at him. Like, after that game, do you remember what it was like, you know, maybe being peppered with questions, like saying, man, enough of this, we're just trying to play baseball?
No, not particularly, no. You know, mostly it was, you know, they were probably around Mike more than any of us other players, you know, when Clemens threw the bat at him towards Mike. He thought it was the baseball when everybody knew what he was doing. But I don't think it really distracted any of the players on the team. I think that more or less it probably distracted Mike a little bit, have to answer those questions after the game. But I think Mike handled it great. You know, he didn't go out and charge the mound, because if he did and we get into a fight, we lose Mike and they lose Clemens maybe. So I thought Mike handled it perfect. A couple of other guys on the team were kind of annoyed at what went on, but you know, cooler heads prevailed, and we went back and we played. And you know, Mike did have, he hit Roger pretty good during his course of his career. So, you know, I just don't think Mike appreciated what he did. I don't think we as a team appreciated what he did. But we all knew what he did. But he said he thought it was the ball. So be it.
Did you think the Piazza ball off Mariano was gone that ninth inning?
Yeah, because I've seen Mike hit so many balls in that same particular spot, and the way it came off the bat, I think everyone in the dugout thought it had a chance to leave the ballpark, but it just kind of died in left center, and you know, Bernie Bernie made the catch to end the World Series, but we thought he hit it pretty good, but unfortunately not good enough.
We got the great John Franco. He joins us here on The Fan. And Johnny, you were incredible, and your teammates and your manager were incredible in the days after the terrorist attacks on September the 11th. That first game back, it must have been surreal. You know, it's this whole feeling, should we cheer? Is it okay to be here? And then Piazza hits the home run off of Steve Carsey. Like, in your years of being at a big league ballpark, that's got to be one of the most special days in all your years of wearing a Met uniform, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we weren't sure if it was the right thing to do, it was the right time to play. You know, when the Mayor Giuliani said, let's get back to normalcy, when the President of the United States said, let's get back to, you know, doing the things that we do. You know, going to the ballpark that day was totally different. When you pulled into the player's lot, there was a police with bomb-sniffing dogs. They would search your car. In the locker room, the same thing. They had the police with the bomb-sniffing dogs. And during batting practice, there were police snipers on top of the stadium, on top of the scoreboard, all through the, you know, that was the safest place to be, we thought, you know. And but it was totally different, you know, life changed totally for everyone. And then once the game started, it was kind of obviously quiet. It wasn't a really loud crowd. It was over 40,000 people. And, you know, people with the, you know, USA, chanting USA, the things before the game, the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem, the players shaking hands and hugging us in the Braves before the game. That was just, you know, Bobby shaking hands with Bobby Cox, and then the players just decided to follow. Nobody scripted that. That was just all of us coming together in the show. The world and the United States, that we came as one, even though we were arch rivals, you know, the Braves and the Mets. But for that particular moment, we were all one. And then once Mike hit the home run, you could see how the crowd just was so excited and so happy, and people crying and hugging and jumping for joy, and us in the dugout. And, you know, guys, I mean, when I talk about it still sometimes, the hair stands up on my arms. And, you know, just for 2.5-3 hours that we put a Band-Aid on the big wound, you know, down at ground zero, made us feel good. And we were happy to get the win, obviously, but we were also happy to help out in any way that we could. You know, a bunch of us went down to ground zero. Bobby Valentine, you know, if you ever want a leader and somebody you want to be in a foxhole with, that's the guy, because he was leading the charge the whole time. And he was just great during that whole 2000 season, 2001 season, obviously, with the 9/11. But he was great. I remember when we finished playing that homestand and then flying out to Pittsburgh, Bobby stood back, and he was at the stadium still helping unload tractor trailers full of water and supplies and stuff for all the ground zero, you know, all the workers, all the police, firemen and that were down in ground zero. And you know, we weren't sure if he was going to show up in Pittsburgh to manage, but he showed up. He got there in time to manage the game. But, you know, going down to ground zero, when we went down there, we met all the, you know, police and firemen, and we handed out hats and T-shirts and just thanking them. And they were, you could see how tired and sad they were for, you know, they were just trying to find survivors. And going down there, it looked something that wasn't real. It looked like something out of Universal Studios, a movie set. And when we were down there, it was real. And we appreciate the work that every rescue worker did for 9/11, not only the police, firemen, and emergency workers, but all the construction workers and people who were involved in recovery down there.
Johnny, final one, my friend. I appreciate the time. You saw how baseball helped this country heal after September the 11th. What we've gone through over the last couple months, you think it could have that healing power once again?
Well, absolutely. You know, the main thing right now, JJ, is to make sure that once everything does resume, that it's safe for everyone to come back to the ballpark. Meaning the fans, the players, the front office people, the owners, everyone. You know, when they travel on the plane going from city to city, the main thing is to make sure that the safety comes first for everyone. Because I'd hate to see the season start again, and then a couple of players get the you know, the virus, and then they have to shut it down again. So I think that's the one thing that they're all concerned about, to make sure that the safety is first for the players, because they're the ones taking the big risk here, and just want to make sure that the risk is worthwhile rather than taking a step back if they do move forward to play.
Johnny, appreciate a couple of minutes, man. Stay safe throughout all this. All the best to you and the family, and keep at it in the kitchen, man. I might have to take some notes down on those recipes, man, if you're putting them up on Instagram. I'm working away myself, so keep up the good work, all right, brother?
Check it out, man. You'll get hungry looking at them.
I'm going to. You don't have to worry about that, Johnny. Thanks, man. Stay safe, all right, bro?
Take care, JJ. All right, bye-bye.
There you have it. That's a great Johnny Franco, who's turning into like a modern-day Bobby Flay. Hey. Lockdown and quarantine brings out some truly unique skill sets out of all of us. But Johnny Franco, killing it every which way. Good stuff there. 10:01 here on this Friday evening. It's JJ After Dark. John Jastrzemski right here on the Fan. 877-337-6666. Update time from one Met to another. From John Franco to Mr. Met. Here's Bobby Isler.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh,